Thank you, Jasmine. Appreciate you being here and leading us in worship in these two services. It's been great this morning, hasn't it? The enthusiasm this morning is just so overwhelming. Let's stand up. You already had your chance to dance. Let's greet one another. Say good morning. Those see a mom, say happy Mother's Day. All right, you can be seated. Thanks for coming. As you know, I talk to my mom every morning before I come to church, and so I called her this morning and wished her a happy Mother's Day. Little does she know that there's a surprise coming. With my sister's going to take her she's going to go to be with my sister this afternoon. We've already made some arrangements. The gift has arrived. Now that she's in a home, she can't take flowers. I used to just blow her room apart with flowers. So now I'm saving lots of money. But I don't talk to Marvin once a year, and he's my old flower guy from back home. So I'm sure he's going to wonder what is wrong with me, why I'm not doing this, but that's okay. And I told Mom I was going to church, and she forgets every Sunday that I'm going to church. Mom, I call you every Sunday morning as I'm, how long are you going to be at that church? Have they hired you yet? I mean, they go all over those kinds of... It's crazy. It's crazy. But she's all thrilled about the royal wedding. Oh, yeah. My mom hasn't missed one yet. Diane and Charles. Andrew and Fergie. She's gone through them all. And tomorrow's... I said, Mom, when are you going to get up tomorrow? I said, of course I know. I said, how early are you getting up? I think it's 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, no good person gets up at 3 o'clock in the morning. She says, well, I will. I said, I know Carol's coming to be with you. She said, are you going to come up? You love the royal family too. I said, no, I'm just going to watch the repeat. I'm going to sleep in. But she's going to have a great day, and I'm encouraged that she's doing well. Today we're going to look at Mom in Scripture, one of my favorite mothers in Scripture. And I want to share with you this morning just how she lived a life of worship and how we can model our life after it as well. Whether we're a mom or whether we're not a mother, we can still do that. A wealthy Texan was in the habit of giving his mom unique gifts on Mother's Day. One year it was lessons on hang gliding. The year before it was the entire record collection of Slim Whitman's hits. But this past year, he felt that he had outdone himself. He had purchased a rare kind of talking bird that could speak five languages and sing the Yellow Rose of Texas while standing on one foot. The talented bird cost him $10,000, but he felt it was worth every penny that he paid. So this would be a Mother's Day gift that his mom would never forget. And so week after Mother's Day, he called his mom. Mom, how did you like the bird? She responded, it was delicious. Some moms just don't get it, do they? Today we honor moms. They deserve it. You are special people. And we're glad that we can spend time with you today. My mom taught me how to worship God. She took us to church all by herself. You see, my dad seldom came to church since he was deaf, and there was no sign language interpreters back in those days when I was growing up. So he never went to church during the summer. He would wash the car, wax it. One of them, we took the other one to church, and when we got back home, he would have soup and sandwiches ready for us to eat. And we would always go every Sunday. We would go to church in the morning. We'd go to Sunday school, then we would go to church in the morning, and then we'd come home and have lunch, and then we'd go to church in the evening, and then we'd go to prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. We were at church a lot. Even in the weekend, on the summers and the weekend, we went camping every weekend, but that did not mean we missed church. We were only 30 minutes away from church, and so my mom said, if we're camping, we're going to church. So we'd get up on Sunday morning, and we would have our breakfast, and we would sometimes go and have a swim if it was really hot, and we'd get ready, we'd jump in the car, we'd go across a little ferry that went back to our hometown, we went to church. After church, we'd get back on the ferry, we'd come back to the campgrounds, we'd have lunch, and then we would pack up after lunch, then we'd go swimming, and then, of course, we had to leave to go back home. But every weekend, we went to church. I know there were times of sorrow and disappointment and pain and loneliness in her life as she was raising us, because she wanted us to love God. And one year, my parents decided to take in two foster kids. They're close to our age. I have an older brother that's 4.5 years older than I am, and my sister's 4.5 years younger than I am. And we had two children that came in to our life, and they were, one was my age and one was my sister's age. And they spent a whole year with us, went to school with us. And I'll never forget that when they left to go back home, even though we had some challenges, even though we had lots of adventures together, I remember that it was very difficult on my parents. It was hard on us. I mean, we loved these kids, Kathy and Danny. I still remember their names. And I thought we were going to have more, because that was just what we had seen and experienced. See, my aunt, when I called my mom this morning, she had to get rid of her sister, who was my aunt, so that she could talk to me. And by Aunt Det, Odessa is her name. My goodness, I never could figure out why her mother called her that. But we called her Det. Odessa was just too much. But we called her Aunt Det and Uncle Pete, Pierre. He was my French uncle that I love so dearly. But they took in foster kids. They had three of their own. But I kid you not, one Sunday when we were there for lunch, when we went to visit them, they were an hour away from us, there were 35 of us around the table. Yeah, she had them from 0, 3 months, all the way through, and she got even some of the most difficult ones. And I remember that that was just kind of what we understood. And there was only 5 of us, so that meant that every meal there was 30 of them. That's amazing. That's a big family, isn't it? You okay this morning? How many of you like 25 kids, 28 kids? Mother's Day would be a great day. You'd have 28 flowers up here. But I remember shortly thereafter, probably when I was a little bit older, I said, Mom, why didn't we ever have any more foster kids? And she said, what you don't know about it was it hurt you and it tore your hearts apart when you had to say goodbye to Danny and to Kathy. At least we could see them at school. But she said, what it did to your father and what it did to my heart was just too much. We couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it again. And you know, today I want to talk about another mother who had a disappointment in her life, and that was Hannah. It was filled with disappointment and heartache and pain, and yet she chose to worship God. In your notes this morning, I hope you got them. Just let's get filling in some things. I want you to see that she would agree with this statement. There are only two times to worship God: when you feel like it and when you don't. Every mother should have reasons to worship God. And I'm not sure what pressures you're facing today, but today you can choose to worship the living God, because there's so many reasons why you can do it today. Ronald Allen said, worship is a heart response to the living God that leads to a godly action. Let me give you a little background. If you got your Bibles, turn to me to 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1, we're going to look at the life of Samuel. But more specifically, we're going to look at Hannah, his mom. In verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. So let me just give you three things at the very beginning to kind of set the background of what we're going to look at this morning. First of all, Hannah was a barren wife of Elkanah, but his other wife, Peninnah, had children, and this brought grief. See, what you may or may not understand, that in the Jewish world, if you were a woman and you were barren, that was a curse. You were less of a woman because you weren't able to have children. Now think of this. Think of this, being married to a man where one of the wives that he has is able to have children, but you are not. Can you imagine the rivalry that would come? Can you imagine the heartache that would come? In chapter 1, verse 10, it says, Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. So what was taking place is, you understand the story. So what would happen is they would go to the temple once a year. And so what happened was, this one particular year, Hannah couldn't take the pressure of what was going on. And so she cried out before God in her prayer time. And the high priest came along and thought that she was inebriated. She was accused of being under the influence. And when he said that to her, she responded, "Oh no, sir," she replied. "I haven't been drinking wine or anything stronger, but I'm very discouraged. And I was pouring out my heart to the Lord. Don't think I am a wicked woman, for I have been praying out of great anguish and sorrow." Verse 19 says, the entire family got up early the next morning and went to worship the Lord once again. And when they returned to Ramah, when Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea, and in due time she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, for she said, "I asked the Lord for him." Second thing I want you to see here is that Hannah went to the temple one day and poured out her heart to God for a child, and this brought great joy. She went to the right place to make her appeal. She went to God. And Eli the priest acknowledged her pain. In verse 22 it says, but Hannah did not go the next time because Samuel had been born. But she says to her husband, "Wait until the boy is weaned. Then I will take him to the tabernacle and I will leave him there with the Lord permanently." Now look at number 3. Samuel was born and then presented by his mother to the Lord, and this brought about worship. Look at what it says in verse 27 and 28. "I asked the Lord to give me this child, and he has given me my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life," and they worship the Lord there. Now think of this. Hannah made a vow, and she kept her vow. Oh, here's just an aside. Be careful what you promise God. A couple who I knew, God called them to serve as missionaries, were getting prepared to go to the mission field. But when they, in their preparation for the mission field, they discovered that because they had actually three children, one of them was very young, but the other two were school age, that they had learned that these kids were going to have to go to a boarding school for 8 months of the year. So that meant, similar to what Hannah had to do, what that meant was they were going to have to put their kids on a bus, and the bus was going to take them 6 or 7 hours away, I think it was, or 4 or 5 hours, I forget, it was just a long ways away, and then they would spend the fall there, they would come home for Christmas, they would go back to school, they'd come home for Easter, then they would go back and they'd come home for the summer. And I remember having a conversation with the mother, and she just said, "I cannot do that. I cannot put my child on a bus and not be with them. That would not be honoring to God." And I struggled with that. I mean, if that's what God has called you to do, now, would that be hard? Let me ask any of you mothers. Some of you have a hard time with your kids coming up to the front here without you. Not mentioning any names. Can you imagine giving your 2-year-old to the priest? Can you imagine bringing your 2-year-old here, giving him to me, or her to me, and saying, "He's yours, she's mine. I'm presenting him to the Lord," and then going home? I don't think I know of too many women, if I know any, that would do that. So when you read this story, you go, man, what is with this woman? This is weird. This is like, oh. But then we find that after Hannah goes and presents Samuel to the Lord, that she writes a song, chapter 2. And the song isn't about the blues. Oh, I left my kid at the temple. Woe is me. The song is about praise. And not that she left her kids. Some of you would love to be able to present your kids. I'm just going to go and give them to Bob. I'll pick them up at 5. That's not the kind of praise. Here's what I want you to see this morning. There's 3 things. How a mom should worship God. Based on what I read and interpret from the song of praise that Hannah shares. First of all, we need to rejoice in God's character. Because then Hannah prayed, my heart rejoices in the Lord. The Lord has made me strong. Now I have an answer for my enemies. I rejoice because you've rescued me. There, no one is holy like the Lord. What are the attributes about God that he possesses that cause you to reflect to him the radiance of his glory? When we sing this morning and we talk about his holiness and we talk about his mercy, do you understand who he is? That you would be able to respond by lifting up your voices to worship him. What about God's mercy? We sang about God's mercy today. Do you understand God's mercy? When I was working on my master's degree, one of the courses I had a chance to take was about, I think it was 21st century preachers. And what we did was we went through the history of preaching, right from Jesus and Paul all the way into modern day history. And one of the pastors or one of the preachers that we got to was Jonathan Edwards. And for those of you that are history buffs, you know that Jonathan Edwards was the preacher who brought revival in Massachusetts by preaching the sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, I had heard all about this message. And in my own mind's eye, I thought, you know what, probably Jonathan Edwards got up there and beat the pulpit, and he was just as angry as God was. No wonder revival came about. And then when I understood the story of Jonathan Edwards, it was totally the opposite. See, Jonathan Edwards wasn't a loud, boisterous screamer. In fact, he was the very opposite. And the only reason why he got to that church was because the pastor got sick, and so he was asked to fill the pulpit. And so he went in, and literally, what I've been told, this is what historians tell us, is that he stood in front of the congregation that he did not know, doing his friend a favor, preaching a sermon that he'd been working on, and all he did was he read in a monotone way the words in his song, in his message. Tradition tells us that he had to stop his message because he heard such a commotion in the auditorium because God had come in power and in revival, and God was meeting people and people were weeping and God was changing hearts right before him, and he had to lift up to see what God was doing. And then he went back down and he finished his message, and God continued to pour out revival. Let me read a little section as he talks about God's mercy. The God that holds you over the pit of hell, much as one holds a spider or some loathsome insect over the fire, abhors you and is dreadfully provoked. His wrath towards you burns like fire. He looks upon you as worthy of nothing else but to be cast into the fire. He is of purer eyes than to bear to have you in his sight. You are 10,000 times more abominable in his eyes. You have offended him infinitely more than ever a stubborn rebel did his prince. And yet it is nothing but his hand that holds you from falling into the fire every moment. And there is no other reason to be given why you have not dropped into hell since you aroused in this morning, but that God, his hand, has held you up. We understand God's mercy. When we understand that everything we have, everything that we're spared of, is because of God's mercy, then we're able to worship him because of who he is. Now notice in your notes a couple of things here. She recalled the Lord's favor because he's a God of grace. She says in this song, my heart rejoices in the Lord, in the Lord my horn is lifted high. She was marked with a curse until God opened her womb in his great mercy. You see, let me tell you what the word horn stands for. God has given her a mark of strength and of excellence. Secondly, she recalled the Lord's deliverance. He's the God of justice. She says, my mouth boasts over her enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. Now, who was her enemy? Wife number one. She did not dish Peninnah, but she recalled the Lord's unfailing character and how God helped Israel overcome Pharaoh and how Joshua overcame Jericho. And now she had been delivered. She saw the hand of God's deliverance. And thirdly, she recalled the Lord's holiness. He's a God without sin. Worship is like walking into the temple of the Old Testament. She's going to make a sacrifice of praise, only her sacrifice of praise is a living sacrifice, her son. And he had a high calling that he would serve the Lord. She says, there is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. Mom, let me ask you a question. Could you take that child or your children that you have raised from birth to the end of school age, and they go to college, and they decide that God's called them to be a missionary? Could you bid them farewell to serve as a missionary? Could you let them go? I remember standing beside the car saying goodbye to my parents when I left for college, because back in that century, Air Canada went on strike, and so there was no way that I could fly to Regina and then go from Regina to school. I had to take a bus. I had to take a Greyhound bus from downtown Toronto. And so because of this silly strike, I was the ninth bus out of Toronto for Regina. 65 hours on a bus. And you could smoke on the bus. I remember getting off. Ashley was just at Briarcrest. I was reminiscing a little bit yesterday with her. I remember getting off the bus at 3 o'clock in the morning because the bus driver felt so sorry for me being on the bus so long. He just pulled off the TransCanada and let me off, but it was 3 o'clock in the morning. And I remember hearing the train, and I remember seeing the light on the train, and I remember seeing the train. It took 15 minutes for it to cross the horizon, but I saw the beginning of the train and the end of the train. And in Ontario, you don't ever see that. You see the first car, then the second car, and if you're lucky, you saw two cars together. But I remember calling home, just letting them know that I was there. I remember what it was like for me being able to say goodbye to my father, because he was deaf, which meant I couldn't pick up the phone and call him. Even back in those days, it was so darn expensive to call home. You never did. We had a code with my mom. If I was okay, I would just call collect, and she would refuse the charges. I wasn't born yesterday. Come on. Now you can talk forever. It doesn't even cost you hardly a cent, $10 a month or whatever it is. But that was my code, that I was okay. She never talked to me other than when she would send me quarters in my care package. I'm telling you way too much information. But I remember saying goodbye to my dad because I knew I wasn't going to be able to talk to him until Christmas. Their pain of my departure was only oiled by the deep gratitude they had to God that their son had been called to go to the temple. Hannah would rejoice in God's character. Secondly, We need to rest in God's deliverance. There is no one besides you, she would say. There is no rock like our God. We have a song that we sing about that. Hannah had seen the strong arm of the Lord deliver her from fear and pain. Listen to the words of David in Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. I love you, Lord. O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. Is God your refuge today? One of my favorite pictures is actually hanging in the office in the Sturgeon Alliance Church where I spent last year. Every day I walked in, I walked by this picture, and the picture is of a lighthouse in a great big windstorm, wave storm. And in the front of that lighthouse is the lighthouse keeper drinking coffee, like he is as safe can be. And then the verse, that God is our refuge. Hannah's words, there is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Again, what does the word rock mean? The steadfastness of God is like a rock to a soul tossed to and fro in the storms of life. I don't know about you, but my mom is always and will always be my rock. She's been there when I needed encouragement. She's been there when I've needed a little bit of us. Talking to a lot more than the encouragement now that I look back. She always said to me she never spanked me enough. I think she did. She's been there my highest highs. She's been there my lowest lows. And I am who I am today because of her nurturing and guidance. And she loved God so deeply and still does. What's your mom taught you? A son was asked this question, and this is what he wrote anonymously. My mom taught me logic. If you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. She taught me medicine. If you don't stop crossing your eyes, they're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to think ahead, he said. If you don't pass your spelling test, you'll never get a good job. My mom taught me to meet a challenge. What were you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you. And don't talk back. I mean, isn't that confusing to you? It's confusing to me. My mom taught me humor. When the lawnmower cuts off your toes, don't come running to me. Some of you are just getting that. My mom taught me about how to become an adult. If you don't eat your vegetables, you'll never grow up. I love this one. My mother taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. My mother taught me about my roots. Do you think you were born in a barn? My mother taught me about the wisdom of age. When you get to be my age, you will understand. Or I'll explain it to you when you get older. My mom taught me about anticipation. Just wait till your father gets home. My mom taught me about receiving. You're going to get it when I get home. My all-time favorite is thinking that my mom taught me justice. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you, and you'll know what it's like. And I can't wait. Moms are pillars of strength, aren't they? Are you stronger because of your worship of God today? You see, it's not when the sky is blue, but when the storms are blowing that reveals how deeply you worship God. You see, hard times are designed to make us fully dependent on God. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, but the people who trust the Lord will become strong again. And they will rise up as an eagle in the sky. They will run and not need rest. And they will walk and not become tired. Thirdly, remember God is sovereign. Sovereign means that as a creator of all things, visible and invisible, God is owner of it all, that he therefore has the absolute right to rule over all. She says, it's not by strength that no one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be shattered. He will thunder against them from heaven. For the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. See, God is in control. He is sovereign, she would say. Look at verse 3. God knows. Verse 4. God cares. Verse 9. God protects. Verse 9 and 10. God reigns. Hannah attributed all power to God. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hannah is a model for us of how we ought to worship God. This morning, rejoice in God's character. Rest in his deliverance. And remember that God is sovereign. Now this morning, if you're a mother or a grandmother, I want to share a blessing with you, a prayer for you today. So guys, this isn't for you. Just listen, okay? But listen to the words that were penned by Rebecca Barlow Jordan. This is just an incredible thing that I want to read to each mom, grandmother today. Dear Lord, bless every mother and every grandmother with the finest of your spiritual blessings today. Confirm in her heart and spirit the work of your hands and the love that she so freely has given to those children under your care. Validate her worth daily so that she has no reason to doubt whether she is loved, valued, and cherished in the eyes of her Heavenly Father. Create in her a deep sense of your protection and trust so that worry and fear will disappear as she places her loved ones into your care. Let her know that every prayer she has prayed and every encouraging word she has spoken on behalf of her children or grandchildren has been transformed into sweet, fragrant offerings before your throne. Whisper deep within her spirit the sweetest words she longs to hear from you, that nothing can ever separate her from your love. Help her to nestle daily into the promises of your word, standing with faith on the things you declare are true. Let her know that you reward faithfulness, but that true success doesn't lie in her accomplishments or accolades. Let her rest in the knowledge that she has done all she can and that she and those she loves truly belong to you. Bless her with a servant's spirit so that she can teach her own the joy of hearing one day, well done. Remove any guilt, false or real, and replace them with your amazing grace and forgiveness. Help her see her children or grandchildren through your eyes, knowing that in your hands is the safest place they can ever be. Calm every doubt and strengthen her confidence in the only one who can bring good out of any situation. Teach her that she cannot meet every need of her child's life, only you can. Give her wisdom and guidance to train those precious children in your path and then to leave the results to you. Lord, give her the ability to help to love without limitations, to pray without ceasing, and to live without regrets. Bless her with such a sweet dependency on you that she will acknowledge her inadequacies, yet recognize and accept your reward of praise and your sense of pleasure in having her as your own beloved child. While prayers may seem unanswered and dreams are not yet realized, open her eyes to see beyond this world to a hope that never disappoints and to a father who will never leave or abandon her. Give her courage to persevere even in the most difficult moments of her life. Bless her with honesty, integrity, and a playfulness that shows her children that she is human, yet unswerving in her desire to know you. Let her joy be contagious. Let her passion be pure. And let her life overflow with all the blessings she deserves on special days and on every day of her life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Moms, be blessed today. Worship team, won't you come?